to be here. My name is Lila Nanda Das. I was born in Brazil. You know Brazil? Football? And I joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1976. And in that same year, I was initiated by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And then I became Sankirtan devotee, selling books. Just give you some introduction because you don't know who I am, so please tolerate me. I was selling books on the streets. I became a devotee buying a book, buying the Shusha Upanishad. And on those days, everyone who joined the temple, the next day they would be on the street selling books. So I had a long hair, which was like the fashion on those days. So my hair was down here. So they shaved my head, and it was summertime. They sent me to the streets. And when I came back to the temple, I had, you know, blisters all over my head. Head was all burned. But then I was selling books for a couple of years. And I was on, by Prabhupada's mercy, I was on the top 3-4 book distributors list. And in 1976, that same year, is when Brazil won the marathon, the Prabhupada marathon. Prior to that, the Radha Damodar party, led by Vishnu Jana and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they were the leaders in book distribution. So we beat them. So, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj wasn't too happy. And then I opened the first Hare Krishna restaurant in Brazil, the first Vaishnava restaurant, and became temple president of Novogokula Farm, which is like the new Vrindavan of Brazil. And I was serving there for 4 years. And then I moved to the U.S. to New Vrindavan in 1986. And I was serving there. And Radhanath Swami was there on those days. And I was cooking for Kirtanananda Maharaj. And then I applied for green card. And the U.S. immigration said, no, we don't want to give you a green card. You were deported. So they decided to deport me. But you know, like roaches, when you move them, they go back. Have you seen it? No. So I said, I'm not going to be deported. So I had to move to New York and find a new lawyer and apply it again. And for the second time, they said, we already told you that we don't want you. You were deported. I said, well, I don't give up. So I found a third lawyer, which was Mr. Gupta, who used to be a judge in Bombay. I applied again, and then they gave the green card. And Mr. Gupta said, I don't know how they did that. And then I became the temple president of the Detroit Temple, which is the Fisher Mansion, which is a wonderful temple, which was donated by Ambarish Prabhu and Lekha Shavanti. It's a beautiful temple. And actually, this temple resembles the Fisher Mansion a little bit, like the clouds on the top. The Fisher Mansion has the entire ceiling is a cloud. And these doors on the side, also it has. This is like the original mansion was like this. But it has mirrors, actually, instead of doors. But on one side, they built a new temple on the side for, I believe, Natji. And they opened the doors. And also has those things on the top as well. It's very similar. And also similar to New Vrindavan. New Vrindavan has things like this. Then after becoming temple president there, I became temple president of the Tohoku Temple in New Jersey. And then I had to work outside, got married, and I was working for Smith Barney. It's an investment bank and brokerage house. I was working there for 5 years. And then I got a job at Morgan Stanley, which is another investment bank. I was there for 11 years. Then they kicked me out. They fired me. Sometimes it happens. But I was very outspoken about being a Hare Krishna. You know, we used to go to a meeting or anything and with vendors, and somebody would ask, so what would you like to do? I'm a Hare Krishna, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat, fish, and eggs. So they got a little upset with me. Wasn't due to performance. But then I opened my business in Florida, Alachua. We have a large community here. There we have 350 families living there. It's a really nice place. And I live there with my son now. If somebody could take some pictures for me, I'm going to email to my son. I'm trying to encourage him to be a Vaishnava. I appreciate. So now let's get down to the verse. Unfortunately, I forgot my glasses in my room. So somebody needs to read the translation. So this is Bali Maharaj is arrested by the Lord, and now Bali Maharaj is going to be sent to the hellish planet. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manoratastasya Duraswarga Patatyadaha Pratishrutasya Danina Yortinam Vipralambhati.
Far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised falls down to a hellish condition of life. Text 34, translation. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. Purport. The false prestige of thinking I am very rich and I possess such vast property is another side of material life. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else possesses anything. This is the real fact. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Bali Maharaj was undoubtedly the most exalted devotee, whereas previously he had maintained a misunderstanding due to false prestige. By the supreme will of the Lord, he now had to go to the hellish planets. But because he went there by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he lived there more opulently than one could expect to live in the planets of heaven. A devotee always lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaging in his service, and therefore he is always transcendental to hellish or heavenly residences. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bali Maharaj Arrested by the Lord.
Talking about the promise, now Bali Maharaj, he made a promise that I'm going to give you 3 steps. Of course, he had no idea of what was coming. No, 3 steps is nothing. So anybody can, I can give 3 steps, you can give 3 steps. So he had no idea what was coming, what kind of steps. But in our lives, we all have to make promises. Especially a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna. When we are initiated, we have to make a promise to the spiritual master. Actually, one time, this devotee in England, and this was told by Tribhuvanath, he was being initiated by Prabhupada. So he came in front of the Vyasasan. And Prabhupada said, so, the 4 principles? Okay, no meat eating, fish, eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And Prabhupada said, which one do you like the most? Prabhupada had a very good sense of humor. Very good sense of humor. And so we have to make promises. In 1970, October 30th, 1970, Prabhupada was traveling from Amritsar to Delhi. That's how you pronounce Amritsar? To Delhi. So, and he was traveling on a first-class train compartment. Along with him was Guru Das. Guru Das was Prabhupada's servant. Who knows who is Guru Das's, or used to be Guru Das's wife? Jamuna, the famous Jamuna. You know. So Jamuna was also there with Kaushalya, but they were traveling in another compartment in the back. And because Prabhupada's first-class car was close to the locomotive, so he was covered with the small particles of dust, black on his dhoti, on his face. So Jamuna and Kaushalya decided that let's go and see how Prabhupada is doing. So they passed through several train cars, and finally they reached Prabhupada. Prabhupada was lying on several pillows. He had one knee up, and he had a big smile on his face. And they said, we came to see how you're doing, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so, can I get some rice? And Jamuna thought, Prabhupada, you want your lunch now? No, no, I'm talking about hot rice. And she was a little confused. From the train, you want me to get some of the hot rice? And Prabhupada said, no, no, no. I want you to make rice, hot rice. She said, okay, I will make it. So she gave her word to Prabhupada, I will make rice. But she had no idea how she's going to make rice on a train in India. Yeah. So I know that the first time I came to India was in 1984. And at that time, I flew from one place to another. And then the second time was in 1986, and I took a train here from Mumbai or Bombay to Calcutta. It was an unforgettable experience. So she was thinking, so how are we going to get rice done? So she went to the kitchen. So she got to the kitchen. There were just two cooks. They were next to a huge coal stove. And they had black shorts. And the black shorts were tainted with turmeric. Now, every Indian kitchen has turmeric. So people, things look a little yellow. So, and then she asked the guys that, my master, my Gurudeva, wants rice. And I told him that I'm going to cook rice for him. He said, it's not, no, we cannot allow you to cook rice here. But no, it's my Gurudeva, my spiritual master. He said, no, we cannot allow you to cook rice. Okay. So she went to the restaurant manager. She got to the manager and said, I was in the kitchen. They told me I cannot cook rice. So you were the manager, and my Gurudeva wants hot rice. So I want to cook hot rice for my Gurudeva. And the man said in his own English, no possible, no possible. No possible. He said, no possible. Not possible. No possible. But it's my Gurudeva, my spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. No possible. No possible. She's running out of options, and the time is passing by. Then she thought, let me try the train conductor, because the train conductor is kind of like the head guru of the train. You know, so he is like in charge of everything. So she found the train conductor, and she said, I went to the kitchen, and I explained that I need to cook hot rice for my Gurudeva, and they said I cannot do it. Then I went to the restaurant manager, and I told him, it's my Gurudeva, it's Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, I need to cook hot rice for him. I gave my promise, I'm going to cook hot rice, and he said, no possible. And I'm coming to you, you're the train conductor. If I cannot cook hot rice for my Gurudeva, I better off jump off this train and kill myself. The man took it very seriously. He said, it's all right. It's all right. You can cook rice for your Gurudeva. It's okay. Actually, you can go to the kitchen and cook anything you want for your Gurudeva. So he went back to the kitchen with her, introduced her to the two workers in the kitchen and told them, look, she can cook whatever she wants to cook. He took her also to the restaurant manager and told the restaurant manager she can cook whatever she wants to cook. But then there was a bigger problem. Now, Jamuna comes actually from a good family. Nice house, nice stove. And suddenly she has this huge, gigantic coal stove and these huge pots. And she didn't know how to use that. She's going to cook a little rice in a gigantic pot. But she had to learn it. And she had to wash the pot very nicely, the best that she could. And then she and Kaushalya made a huge platter of rice for Prabhupada, hot rice. She put some salt, some pepper, some lemon. And then suddenly, she goes and delivers to Prabhupada. Prabhupada had a big smile on his face. And he said, oh, my goddesses of fortune came. He said. So he ate and he was very happy. But that was a promise. No, she told Prabhupada, yes, Prabhupada, I'm going to make hot rice for you. She had no idea how she was going to get hot rice done. How do you call rice in Hindi? Kaval? Kaval? Chaval? Chaval? So she had no idea. But Krishna helped her. And she was ready to jump off the train and commit suicide if the conductor said you cannot do it. And she told him with such urgency that she convinced him and said, it's fine. Well, let's go and cook it. No problem. But this is a Vaishnava. We have to have this determination to serve the spiritual master. And here, Bali Maharaj is about to be sent to the hellish planet. But what do you think New York was for Prabhupada when he arrived there? That was like a hellish planet. And if you see the poem that Prabhupada wrote when he arrived in Boston, he says, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why you brought me here. Na chao, na chao, na chao, semate. I don't know why you brought me. You brought me here to dance. So make me dance. Make me dance any way you want. But here, I don't know how I'm going to convince them. Their heart is so hard. They are so covered by the modes of nature. I don't know how they are going to understand this message. Only by your power. You have the power to cover them. You have the power to convince them of this message. And as Prabhupada arrived alone in the United States, he sent many of his loyal servants alone to far distant places to preach Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada once said in 1966 in a class that I don't like this place. He said like this. But I am duty bound. And I have an urgent message for you. And that's why I am here. Because I have an urgent message to deliver. But it's interesting. Now we see so many Indians sitting here. And also in the US, you go to any temple, now many Indians come. But when Prabhupada left India, Indians were not interested. He got little help from Indians, from his own people. Then eventually he came back to India with his white elephant. Then they started paying attention to him. Well, he's convincing them. He started paying attention. So he was preaching everywhere and he was sending his generals to different places in the world. One of these places was Australia. I'm going to tell a little beautiful pastime about Australia. Chidananda was 1968-69. Chidananda, he was seeing, you know, that Mukunda, Jamuna, Gurudas, Shamasundar, Malati, they went to England. And Hridayananda Maharaj to Latin America. And somebody else, Brahmananda, to Africa. And he thought, I want to go somewhere too. I want to open a temple somewhere. So he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to go to Australia. Okay, go to Australia. So he went to get visa. You know, he filled out all the paperwork and everything. And they said, rejected. Visa rejected. And Prabhupada did not blame him. He said, well, these people from Australia are really unfortunate. That's what Prabhupada said. They're unfortunate. Bad karma for them. The Chidananda cannot go to Australia. Prabhupada was always encouraging everybody. But then, Bali Mardan was in Tokyo. And Bali Mardan met somebody from Australia. And he wrote Prabhupada, Prabhupada, things are picking up here in Tokyo. I'm here with Sudama, you know, two devotees preaching in Tokyo. Not easy to preach in Tokyo, by the way. I was there and visiting a couple of times. Not easy to preach. But they were preaching there. And he said, now things are getting better, so Sudama can be in charge, and I would like to go to Australia. I can go alone. Because Prabhupada said, one sincere soul is enough to go and open a temple. One sincere soul. So Prabhupada said, I'm very happy that you are so enthusiastic, and now Tokyo is doing well, and now you want to go and open Australia. You have all my blessings. Chidananda tried to go, but his visa was rejected, so be careful when you apply for visa. So he applied for visa. And in the meantime, Prabhupada is in the outskirts of Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills is in California, for those that don't know. And California is on the southwest coast of the United States. And Beverly Hills is a very wealthy place where the rich and famous live. Like Hridayananda Maharaj, his family comes from Beverly Hills. Very wealthy family. And Prabhupada was there, and Upendra, who was Prabhupada's servant, but prior to that was the president of the Seattle temple, had left that function to again be Prabhupada's servant. And when he was moving from one place to another, his mail got redirected, and he got the mail late, and one of the letters was from Bali Mardan. And Bali Mardan sent letters to all the temple presidents, and he was looking for somebody to help him to open Australia. So Upendra very nicely came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I got this letter from Bali Mardan. I never met him because he was in New York and I was in Los Angeles, the West Coast. New York is on the East Coast. So we never met. And he sent letters to all the temple presidents, and he's looking for someone to help him to open Australia. So look at the letter, Prabhupada." So Prabhupada took the letter, looked at the letter, and looked at Upendra. And again, looked at the letter, and looked at Upendra. Upendra looked back, thinking maybe he's looking at somebody else. And looked at the sides, and Prabhupada again looking at him. And Upendra said, "Oh no, Prabhupada, not me." "Prabhupada, I'm now your servant. I cook for you. I massage you. I take care of your clothes. I take care of..." "Not me, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "But, you know, cooking for me, massaging me, washing my clothes, anybody can do that. Anybody can do. But preaching, opening a country, oh, that needs somebody intelligent like you." And Upendra said, "Prabhupada, please, Prabhupada, no, Prabhupada, please don't do this to me." But Prabhupada immediately cut him off. "You are on your way to Australia. So go get your visa." So, but now on those days, now today some of our temples are quite wealthy actually, have money, have donors, regular donors giving donations on a regular basis. But on those days, Upendra had to go to the streets and collect the money to pay for his ticket to go to Australia. Was like this. So he went to the streets and he collected. And then he went to get visa because he had to show a ticket. First you have to show that you have a round trip ticket. Otherwise they're not even going to talk to you. But besides that, they want you to show also that you have $1,500. And he didn't have $1,500. So Gargamuni, who is Brahmananda's brother, had a business and had some money. And Upendra approached Gargamuni and said, "Look, Prabhupada, I was his servant, and I was very happy. He said no. He said, go to Australia. I collected money. I bought the ticket, but now I don't have the $1,500. Can I borrow the $1,500 from you?" And Gargamuni said, "Okay, but there's one condition. The moment you get to Australia, the same day after you enter the country, you have to wire the $1,500 back." I said, "Okay, no problem." So there goes Upendra to Australia. And at this point, Bali Mardan was already in Australia, alone. And this family, this boy that he met in Tokyo, was hosting him at his apartment. However, the boy was really not interested in Krishna consciousness. His girlfriend was not interested in Krishna consciousness. But they were helping him. Just thinking, you know, when you are going to get out of here as soon as possible. Let's get out of here. And then they told him, "Look, there is a house. It's an abandoned house, but it's a house. And this house is in this place. It's not a bad place. So maybe you could be there. There you have your own house." And Bali Mardan realized that these folks really don't want me around. So this is just an excuse. Anyway, he went to see the house. It was a house with broken glasses. The windows were broken, all dirty, completely abandoned. But he stayed in that house. Stayed in that house. And then a week later, Upendra arrives. And Bali Mardan goes to the airport to wait for Upendra. So Bali Mardan had one of those Prabhupada hats. You know Prabhupada hat to come on the side? Upendra said that his beard was like 3 days old. He had a very wrinkled kurta. and he had jeans. But he had a mridanga, and he was doing kirtan to receive Upendra. He was receiving Upendra with a Hare Krishna kirtan. So when Upendra was passing through immigration, he heard the kirtan. He said, wow, this is a good welcome. Then he took him to the car. There was a taxi driver, someone that was interested in becoming a devotee. Then he took Upendra to the house. And when Upendra got to the house and saw that house all dirty, the windows had broken glass, he said there were roaches in the house that were the size of a skateboard. He said, and his bed was all covered by newspaper. The only thing he did was to cry. He started crying and crying and crying. I said, what did I come to do here in this place? But then they were both selling Back to Godhead magazines. And they sold all the magazines they had with them. And then Bali Mardan remembered that the Macmillan Company had printed the Bhagavad Gita in the U.S. And there was a Macmillan Company in Australia. He contacted the Macmillan Company. And they had Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gitas there. He bought all the Bhagavad Gitas. They sold all the Bhagavad Gitas. Then they got a nice building, new building that was in a nice location. And then people started joining. And then Prabhupada said, I'm coming to Australia. But I was one sincere soul with no money. And there's so many stories like this. So today we are sitting on Prabhupada's mercy. Now this is Prabhupada's mercy. This was like sprouting. Like, you know, a tree that starts growing and going to different places, different countries. Prabhupada was expanding like this worldwide. And that was a commitment from him to his spiritual master. And a commitment from his devotees. Because for the Vaishnava, Swarga Pavarga Narakesha, who said this verse, I think was Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati. Narayana Parak Sarvi Nakutaschana Vidyate Swarga Pavarga Narakesha Pituliarta Darshanaha. For the Vaishnava, Narayana Paraksavi, the servant of Narayana, Nakutascha Navidyati, there is no anxiety anywhere. Swarga, if he is in the heavenly planet, Apavarga, if he is in this earth, or Narakesh, if he is in hell, Aptuliyarta Darshanaha, he sees the same way. So for these Vaishnavas, they had comfortable houses, comfortable environment, everything was so nice, they gave up everything just to surrender to Prabhupada. And once Prabhupada said, it's interesting that people go to work for a boss and the boss pays them money. But my disciples, they work for me and they pay me money. It's different. And Guru Kripa was in Hong Kong. He was preaching in Hong Kong and he was alone. Again, another case, he was alone. And he had an apartment. And the whole temple, the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness was this apartment in Hong Kong. Now, Hong Kong is a very wealthy place. He wrote to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, nobody's coming to the temple. I am here preaching. Nobody's coming. It's just me and the walls. It's empty. Nobody comes. My suggestion, Prabhupada, is that we close the temple and you send me to some other place that is more profitable. And so what do you think Prabhupada said? No, probably Prabhupada said, okay, close, let's go to another place, no? What do you think? Raise your hand. Who thinks that Prabhupada said close the temple? Wow, you have smart people. I fooled other people in other countries, but looks like India so ahead. By the way, before I finish this story, who knows what was Prabhupada's favorite color? Now, let's do a little competition here. Prabhus and Matajis. Prabhus, who knows what was Prabhupada's favorite color? Raise your hand before you say. No, you have to raise your hand. Discipline. We're in a temple. Right, it was blue. That's good. But I heard somebody else sing orange. And what? Which one was Prabhupada's favorite song? The Matajis. Prabhupada's favorite Vaishnava song? No. Okay, wait. Who, the Mataji in the back there. No, not Jayarada Madhava. One more. Hari Hari Vipali. No, it was in London. Prabhupada was at John Lennon's quarters, and he was singing upstairs. And Govinda was downstairs listening. She enjoyed hearing Prabhupada. And she went upstairs and said, Prabhupada, which one is your favorite song? And Prabhupada said, Hari Hari Vipali. He said, this is my favorite song. So now continuing the story. So Prabhupada wrote to Guru Kripa. So I understand that nobody's coming to the temple and you want to go to another place. Just chant Hare Krishna there in that apartment. And even if you don't go anywhere and you just sit there, and even if nobody comes, and even if you are alone and you just chant Hare Krishna there, that's enough to purify the entire Hong Kong. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Prabhupada had so much faith in the chanting of the holy names. And that's why he was so powerful. Now, the class is coming to an end, and I have so many stories about Prabhupada to tell you. But we only have 10 minutes. Let me think here which one I will tell you. Was somebody at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital when I gave a lecture on Thursday? Somebody from here? This is a very touching story. And very touching. But it was in Paris. And Indrajuna Prabhu on those days, now he's Indrajuna Maharaj, he was the temple president. And Prabhupada sent notice, I'm coming to Paris. Now please understand, when Prabhupada sent notice that I'm coming to your temple, no, the whole thing went crazy. The whole thing went crazy. People would not sleep. People, it was like just, you know, it's difficult to describe. So he said, I'm coming to Paris. Now temples that had no money made money. You know, it was just fascinating. So Prabhupada is coming to Paris. And Indrajuna is organizing everything. And they would paint Prabhupada's room blue. And Shrutakirti says, every temple they arrived, it was like smelling fresh paint. Because the night before, at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, the devotees were painting. You know, and Prabhupada is coming. So let me interject a little story between a complete this story. Prabhupada was arriving in Mexico. It was also a big reception. They were like arranging everything. And they had bought a new house that was in a complex where the embassies used to be. So it was a really nice house that used to be an embassy. Close to the main park in Mexico. Maybe the most beautiful park in the whole Latin America. Walking distance. Prestigious place. So Prabhupada is coming. Everything organized. Prabhupada arrives at the airport. Nobody's there to receive him. Nobody's there. Prabhupada is alone. Then he was sitting with his luggage and everything waiting. Then a couple came and said, are you the master of the Hare Krishna movement? I said, Prabhupada, yes, I am. No, we recognize you from the book. We have a book and we saw you on your picture on the book. Oh, they're waiting for you. It's a big reception for you. They're waiting for you. Big reception. And Prabhupada said, yes, but there's nobody here. Well, we can drive you to the temple. We can drive you to the temple. So they had a small Beetle, that Volkswagen car, that is a small one. But they were able to fit Prabhupada inside with his luggage, and they drove to the temple. And when Prabhupada arrives at the temple, what happens? Everybody's at the airport. Nobody's at the temple. So there was only the pujari in the temple. When the pujari saw Prabhupada, he almost had a heart attack. Because he was expecting everybody to come with Prabhupada, and not Prabhupada to come alone. So they said, Prabhupada, your quarters is upstairs. And then in a few minutes, all the devotees are coming behind Prabhupada. Where is Prabhupada? Where is Prabhupada? Oh, Prabhupada is upstairs. But then, of course, it's a beautiful story in Mexico. But then when Prabhupada came for the second time to Mexico, Hridayananda Maharaj organized the police. There were several police cars and motorcycles escorting Prabhupada, like, you know, they do with the president of the country. And it was wonderful. But now going back to France, to Paris. So Prabhupada is arriving. So they were generous and they gave me until 10 o'clock. So, okay. So Prabhupada is arriving in Paris. Now, there was a boy in Paris. He was an American boy from a Jewish family. Okay. However, this boy, like it happened with some youth on those days, and it happens even today, even here in India, he was into drugs, heavy drugs. He was taking so much drugs that he was no longer able to communicate, to speak properly. He was no longer able to speak properly. So he was really affected by drugs. And he was very, very dirty, because drugs has to do with ghosts and has to do with a filthy environment. So he was very, very dirty. And he was living on the street as a beggar. And he had boxes. You probably have here beggars on the street that they put cardboard boxes, you know, and they cover themselves. In New York is quite popular, in Europe also, many parts of the world. So that's how he was living. But somehow he liked to come to the temple. And every time he came to the temple, the devotees would not allow him to enter the temple, but they gave him prasadam. So then Prabhupada arrives in Paris and everybody is happy. So the next day Prabhupada said, I want to go on a morning walk. And Prabhupada used to go on a morning walk. So Prabhupada went on a morning walk and all the devotees were going with him. And Indrajuna also. And they were walking on Avenue A, an important avenue in Paris. And then everybody's walking, chanting japa. And on this avenue, there are many bushes on one side and many bushes on the other side, very nicely, like a garden. And suddenly, what happens? This boy jumps and grabs Prabhupada's foot. He was living behind one of those bushes. He jumps and just grabs Prabhupada's foot. And Indrajuna said, my God, this is the last thing we wanted to happen. They grabbed the boy and threw the boy back in the bushes. And kept walking. Okay, kept walking. But because this boy was so dirty, they nicknamed him Pig Pen. Pig Pen was a character in the American television, was a cartoon. You know, and was a character that was very dirty. And the name was Pig Pen. And they related this boy with that character, so they gave him the name of Pig Pen. And Indrajuna is thinking, my God, the last thing we wanted to happen was Pig Pen, this dirty beggar, drug addict, touching Prabhupada's sublime lotus feet. So things are not starting on the right foot with Prabhupada's visit. He was concerned. Then they go back to the temple. And then when they are arriving at the temple, they see that the door is open. And Indrajuna thought, I was the last one that left the temple and I shut the door. The door was closed. How come now I'm coming back and the door is open? But Prabhupada enters the temple. It's Govinda time. And who is sitting there in the center of the temple? Pig Pen. And Pig Pen again jumps and grabs Prabhupada's foot. And the devotees try to take him out. And Prabhupada said, no, it's okay. Prabhupada said, it's okay. Then Prabhupada starts touching Pig Pen's head. It's okay, my son. It's okay. And Pig Pen is there, holding Prabhupada's foot. Everybody's looking. They don't know what to do. And Prabhupada says, it's okay, my son. It's okay. Then after a couple of minutes, then there's Govinda, and there's class, and Pig Pen is there in the temple. And now, nobody dares to touch Pig Pen. Because no, Pig Pen, now he got Prabhupada's mercy. So who is going to touch Pig Pen now? He got Prabhupada's mercy. So Prabhupada gives class. And then he leaves the temple room. And then the devotees come to Indrajuna and say, so what are we going to do now? Let's throw Pig Pen out now. Now Prabhupada is gone. Now we can throw him out. And Indrajuna says, we cannot do that. Prabhupada gave his mercy. Prabhupada touched his head. Gave him attention. We cannot do that. Take him upstairs. Give him a bath. They took Pig Pen upstairs. Gave him a shower. Shaved his head, dressed him with dhoti, and kurta, and japamala, and kantimala, and tilaka, and Pig Pen comes down from upstairs looking like a demigod. Arrivo. Big Ben Kida. And then Big Ben stayed in the temple. And he was cleaning. He was cleaning the temple. He was cleaning the kitchen, cleaning the bathroom, helping in doing simple type of work. And he was even starting to talk a little bit, not much, but a little bit. No, his consciousness was becoming clean. His body was becoming clean. The association of the Vaishnavas and eating prasadam and seeing the deities. And then one day, as the devotees used to do, they were loading the van to go on book distribution. No, you load the van with bags and bags of books, and then you go on the street and you distribute books. And then when they open the temple door, who is inside the van? Big Ben. And Big Ben has a book bag full of books. And then Indrajuna said, Big Ben, you were doing such a nice service in the temple, cleaning the kitchen and cleaning the battery. You know, you just stay here. There's no need for you to go on the streets. No, no. And Big Ben at this time was talking a little bit. Then he said, Prabhupada saved me. Prabhupada saved me. He was saying that Prabhupada saved me. I want to go and give Prabhupada's mercy to the people. I want to go to the street. I want to sell books like you. Nobody could convince Big Ben. So they allowed Big Ben to go to the street and sell books. So they were selling in a parking lot. The moment they parked the van in the parking lot, Big Ben left and disappeared. At the end of the day, Big Ben came back with his bag empty. One devotee said, he just gave the books to everybody, just gave everything. And another devotee said, no, I was selling books next to him. He sold each book to each person. And then Big Ben was initiated by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave him the name of Rasada. Rasada. And when I heard this story, I said, Rasada. I know Rasada. A year before, I was in Brazil, where I come from, and I met this American brahmachari. And he was doing sankirtan. He was doing book distribution. And then we were talking. I said, what's your name? So he gave me his name. I entered his name on my phone, his email address. So I said, let me do a search on my phone by the name Rasada. I found. So I sent an email to him. I heard this story from Indrajuna Maharaj. Are you the Rasada that Prabhupada touched your head once? So he replied back, oh yes, I am the same Rasada. And he touched my head twice, not once. But you see how powerful Prabhupada is? Sometimes we go and we preach 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and nobody's convinced. Nobody joins. But Prabhupada is so powerful, he touched somebody's head for 1 minute and this person is distributing books for 30 years. What kind of personality is this? What kind of powerful saintly person is this? Prabhupada is not just another saintly person. He's a very powerful saintly person. And in the same way, he touched the lives of so many people. And we were all going to hell. You too are going to hell. India or not India? Actually, I have seen things in India that shocked me. I have seen it. I remember the first time I came to India, I was walking in Krishnanagar near Mayapur. And there was the sannyasi coming by. And then it was not an ISKCON sannyasi, but it was just a sannyasi. So I decided to offer obeisances. And when I offered obeisances, he put his hand back. He had a cigarette on his hand. You know? I said, wow. I don't know. That surprised me. You know? I thought I would see this only in the West. But they say there's a saying. Maybe there's the saying in India also. When you live close to the train station, you more often miss the train. You know? Actually, I was giving a class in San Francisco. San Diego in California some time ago. I was visiting there and they invited me to give the Sunday feast class. And I gave a class. And I like to tell stories of Prabhupada. And then after that, I was serving prasadam. And this Indian man came to me and I said, you know, I liked your class. And I have one more story for you. So next time you give class, you tell this story. Okay, that's fine. I was born in Mathura. No, the land of Krishna, Mathura Vrindavan. In my whole life, I did not know Krishna. Do you know where I came to know Krishna? Here in this temple in San Diego. That's where I learned about Krishna. And another friend of mine, Gaura Krishna, he was born in a Vaishnava family in Bengal. They had a guru, they read Chaitanya Charitamrita, they read Bhagavad Gita, they chanted Hare Krishna from childhood. And their guru advised them that in Jamastami you offer 10 types of fish to Krishna. So he came to learn about Krishna, the real Krishna, in ISKCON temple. So Prabhupada brought not only Krishna consciousness to the West, but he brought Krishna consciousness to India as well. In the early days when I visited India, even the temples were not, no, besides the ISKCON temple, I'm talking about other temples, they were like dead. And now you see everybody's taking care of their temples. They are, no, they're seeing ISKCON temples and they want to imitate, which is very nice. But that's all Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's mercy. There is another story. One of Prabhupada's god brothers, a devotee came to him and offered some prasadam. And he said, no, you know, this prasadam cooked by mlechas, you know, Western Vaishnavas, quotes, Western Vaishnavas. He did not want to take. But sometime later, he was meeting with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was helping some of his god brothers, giving donation, giving money. And he approached, you know, perhaps, you know, Swamiji, you can give, you know, some donation also for my project. And Prabhupada said, I'm so sorry, the money is collected by mlechas. I thought Prabhupada had such a great sense of humor. Money is collected by mlechas, I cannot give to you. So His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, saved all of us, gave us these books. In 1977, what's his name? Rameshwar Prabhu, Rameshwar Swami already on those days. He came to see Prabhupada in Juhu. And he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, our next printing of Bhagavad Gita is going to require 76 train cars loaded with paper. Can you picture in your mind 76 train cars loaded with paper to print the Bhagavad Gita as it is? Prabhupada started laughing. 76 train cars. They were printing so many books. I hope one day we go back to that book distribution. And I want to talk a little bit more about the verse. I spoke about the commitment from Jamuna that she was ready to commit suicide. But Prabhupada had a big commitment to Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari. No? He promised Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari that I'm going to build for you a wonderful temple. He promised. Okay. And then in 1977, Prabhupada came back to Juhu, and he wanted to, for the first time, stay at his quarters. However, Surabhi Prabhu said, but Prabhupada is not ready. But Prabhupada did not listen. So he arrived at the Juhu temple. They had an apartment in the back, all decorated with flowers, and everybody was doing kirtan there, and the car drove to the back. When the car got there, Prabhupada said, turn around, I'm going to my quarters. And Surabhi was trying to explain to him, no, Prabhupada, it's not ready. Prabhupada did not hear. He did not want to listen to anybody. He went there, he went upstairs, and when he got there, workers were all over the place. The whole thing was dirty. Prabhupada said, just put a chadar here. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to stay here. And then the devotees started running everywhere, trying to get furniture, trying to clean the place. And then they suggested, Prabhupada, why don't you stay at the house of Mr. Mahadevia? And then give us just a week. Within a week, we are going to fix everything. So Prabhupada went to the house of Mr. Mahadevia. Within a week, he came back and the whole thing was fixed. And then, it was midnight. Prabhupada had told Giriraj Prabhu. Now, all these devotees, they went through a lot of austerity to build the Juhu temple. And Giriraj Swami, he comes from a wealthy family. Lived a very good life. To live there in the middle of snakes and rats, that in the heat of Bombay, wasn't an easy life. But Giriraj was very faithful to Prabhupada. And he wanted always to make arrangements for Prabhupada to meet with important people. Although Prabhupada said, I'm ill, I'm not feeling well, I don't want to meet with anybody, I just want to stay here translating. And he was very happy translating. But Mr. Rajda, which I think passed away some time ago, and I think he used to come to this temple as well. Mr. Rajda and Giriraj, they were arranging for a meeting with Prabhupada and the Prime Minister Desai. And at midnight that day, Giriraj received a call from Mr. Rajda. The meeting is scheduled for tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. It's midnight. So Giriraj went to Prabhupada's quarters and saw that Prabhupada was awake, because Prabhupada sometimes stayed the whole night translating the books. That was his commitment to his spiritual master. His spiritual master said, just give this knowledge to the English-speaking people. And even on his deathbed, you see a video. Somebody is holding the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada is translating the Bhagavatam, even at the last moment. So Giriraj went inside the room very quietly. Prabhupada saw him and said, come. And Giriraj said, Prabhupada, I'm very sorry. I'm inconveniencing you at this time. He said, there's no inconvenience. Prabhupada, Prime Minister Desai is going to be here tomorrow. He's staying at the house of his son in Marine Drive. And I know, Prabhupada, that you don't want to go. Because Prabhupada told earlier, you know, if the Prime Minister wants, he should come and see me. He should understand the etiquette of, you know, relating to a spiritual master. I should not have to go and see him. So I know, Prabhupada, that you don't want to go. But can Tamal and I go to see the Prime Minister? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can go. So which book should we bring with us? And Prabhupada said, you bring the Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they said, should we bring the books in Hindi or English? And Prabhupada said, in English. Now, Prabhupada wanted always to emphasize that this is a worldwide movement. And even when he was in India sometimes, he used to show the Indians his green card and his credit card from the Bank of America. And the Indians would become very impressed. Because on those, now I'm sure many of you or all of you have credit cards today, but on those days, especially having a credit card from the Bank of America and an American green card was very special. So Prabhupada said, so bring the books in English. So they were prepared very early in the morning. They drove to Mr. Rajda's house. They rang the bell and Mr. Rajda does not open the door. And they kept ringing the bell for 25 minutes. And finally, Mr. Rajda came and said, oh, we're just waking up. And he had to go and still eat breakfast. Anyway, by the time they got to Mr. Desai, they were 25 minutes, 30 minutes late. And Mr. Desai said, Prime Minister Desai said, I was ready at 7:25. Why are you so late? I'm meeting with some other people now. He gave them 5 minutes. But they gave the books. Then they went back. And Prabhupada said, so, how was the meeting? It wasn't too good, Prabhupada. We were late. Prabhupada said, why you were late? Now everything is spoiled, Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada, we were on time. But we had to wait for Mr. Rajda. Did you tell Prime Minister that Mr. Rajda made you late? And said, no, you know, we did not want to embarrass Mr. Rajda. You should have told the Prime Minister that he made you late. Now everything is spoiled. But then at the end, Prabhupada said, never mind. these politicians, they will never change anyways. It wouldn't make a difference. So Prabhupada was always trying to encourage the Vaishnavas. And I'm going to tell you a last story, and then I'm going to let you go, because you may be hungry. Prabhupada was in Detroit, Michigan, this Fisher Mansion. And there was a competition. Bhagavan was the president, and there was a competition. Whoever sells more books will travel with Prabhupada to New York and to London. So Indrajuna won the competition. And Bhagavan said, okay, this is Prabhupada's flight number. So you can book, and I'm going, and other devotees are going, and you can come with us. So Indrajuna calls the airline. I want to purchase a ticket for on this flight number, on this date. And on the other side, the lady said, I'm so sorry, sir, but the flight is completely sold out. But you don't understand, Indrajuna said. No, my Gurudev, His Divine Grace, is flying on this plane. And I won the book distribution. And my temple president told me I can go on the plane. So I need to buy a ticket. And the lady on the other side, sir, you said, your Gurudev? Yes, my Gurudev. You know, like Jesus Christ? She said, just a moment, sir. Just a moment. Let me talk to my supervisor. So she goes and talks to her supervisor. And she comes back and said, I went to talk to my supervisor and I told him that your Gurudev, who is like Jesus Christ and His Divine Grace and He's traveling and you won this marathon of book distribution. And then he said, it's okay. We can find you a seat on the plane. They got him a seat on the plane. So then he travels with Prabhupada to New York City. From New York City, they're going to travel to London. And then, in New York City, they had to pass security. Prabhupada had a white bag. He used to always carry this white bag. Inside this white bag, he had passport, documents, money, things that were very important. Like one example, when Shrutakirti's son was born, Prabhupada named his son Mayapur Chandra. And Prabhupada said, this name you will not find in the Vedic literature. You will find Vrindavan Chandra. This one I made up for your son, Mayapur Chandra. And then when Shrutakirti communicated to Prabhupada, my son was born, Prabhupada said, get my white bag. Actually, let me track back a little bit. When Shrutakirti was getting married, Prabhupada said, bring my white bag. He gave the white bag to Prabhupada. Prabhupada opened, got a pair of wedding rings and gave to him, this is my gift for your wedding. And Prabhupada was a perfect gentleman. And now the son was born. And Prabhupada again said, get me the white bag. He got the white bag and gave him, I believe it was $50. This is a gift for your son. And Shrutakirti said, Prabhupada, I cannot accept any money from you. Now, I'm a disciple, I cannot accept any money from you. And Prabhupada said, the money is not for you. It's for your son. So please accept the money. So then, when Indrajuna is passing, somehow, Bhagavan and the others, they were on another line because on this security lines, there are many lines. And he was the only one with Prabhupada. And the security officer said, open your bag. So open the bag. Open this white bag. So Prabhupada was trying to open the white bag, but he had some difficulty opening the bag. And the security officer said, open this bag now. Indrajuna came from behind Prabhupada and said, if you talk to my spiritual master one more time again like this, I'm going to punch you. You should know the etiquette to deal with a pure devotee. He is a pure devotee of Krishna. You cannot talk to him like this. The officer was like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to follow the etiquette to deal with a pure devotee. I'm so sorry. And then Indrajuna took the bag. And he started opening the bag. And he had heard about this white bag before. And then when he opened, he wanted to know what is inside the bag. So he's looking at things, and then the officer said, sir, may I look at the bag of the pure devotee now? So he gives, everything was okay, so then they go. So they are on the plane. And suddenly, Indrajun is in the back with the devotees, Prabhupada is in the front, and then Prabhupada is laughing. He's laughing very, you know, lively, laughing, laughing. Prabhupada was watching the Charlie Chaplin movie. No. Charlie Chaplin, when I was a kid in Brazil, they used to play Charlie Chaplin. I did not like because there was no sound. And by those days, they had American cartoons that had sound. But Charlie Chaplin was born in England in 1896 on the 10th of May. So he was born on the same year that Prabhupada was born. It's very interesting. And he died very close to Prabhupada when Prabhupada left the body. And Prabhupada liked him very much. And Prabhupada liked mainly, there was one of his movies that Charlie Chaplin, what it was called Hard Times. The name of the movie was Hard Times. And in that movie, Charlie Chaplin is sitting on the table, he's sitting by the table eating dinner, and he is eating a boot, no, a shoe. And the name of the movie is Hard Times, and Prabhupada loved that movie. He used to take money from his mother's wallet to go and watch that movie. So Prabhupada was having fun watching the movie. And then they get to London. And Bhagavan said, Indrajuna, you take care of the luggage because there's a problem. One of Prabhupada's luggages did not arrive yet. And we have to go because all the devotees are waiting. There's a big reception and Guru Puja and everything. So everybody left and Indrajuna was left behind. And waiting, waiting, waiting. You know, sometimes at airports it takes a long time to get your luggage. And he was completely depressed. Now I missed Guru Puja. I missed reception. I missed Prasad. I missed everything. My day is finished. Finally, the bag arrived. He takes a cab. And the cab driver saw that he was really down. He looked at him in the mirror and said, son, are you okay? Are you feeling okay? You don't look okay. And Indrajuna said, I'm not okay at all. You know, my Gurudeva, my spiritual master, you know, he looks like Jesus Christ for us, you know. He arrived, he's at the temple, and there's Guru Puja, and there is, you know, reception and prasad, and I had to stay behind waiting for the luggage. You know. So by the time he got to the temple, everything was finished. And these luggages were very heavy. And Prabhupada was not on the main floor. He was on second or third floor. And there goes Indrajuna carrying this luggage up. Step by step. Step by step. Step by step. And finally he enters Prabhupada's room. He opens the door with his back. He enters. And when he sees Prabhupada is right behind him. And then he turns and offers obeisances. And then Prabhupada said, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact word, but Indrajuna Maharaj, he wrote this, and he carries this with him. I'm paraphrasing. He said, when you come to the spiritual world, all the suffering you have in this world, everything will be gone. You'll be finished. So that was a very remarkable moment for him, because he was lamenting that I could not be there. But now he had a short contact, but an intimate contact with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him, all the suffering, carrying heavy bags, late airport problems, all this will be gone. And we'll go back to Krishna and live happily. One last story now. Prabhupada said that when you go back to the spiritual world, and he didn't say this just for his disciples. We're all followers of Prabhupada. All the sincere followers are with him. When you go back to the spiritual world, I will be there waiting for you. I will hold you by the hand. Have you heard this story? I will hold you by the hand. I will take you to Krishna. I will put your hand on Krishna's hand. I will leave both of you alone and go. Prabhupada said like this. So we are very well sheltered, very well protected by Prabhupada. We just have to stay here in the association. And we have to get rid of all the illusion of success in this world or failure, because this is all temporary. And then just go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jai, Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions? Because I'm hungry. I'm sure you're hungry too. Thank you very much. It was wonderful to sit here and share some of Prabhupada with you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.